88 years ago this Halloween, Harry Houdini died in room 401 at Grace Hospital in Detroit. How did this world-famous magician and escape artist come to die in Michigan? John Cox has the answer. He's a Houdini historian. John, just how famous was Harry Houdini?
Well, Houdini was enormously famous in his day, not just as a famous magician escape artist, but he was a pioneer aviator. He made movies. He also just became part of the culture, part of the discussion, especially when he began to expose fraudulent mediums. The idea, you know, what Houdini thought was something that was relevant to the culture and important to people. He was very contemporary in that way, in that he was famous beyond his field.
So I was wondering, in a way, was he the David Copperfield of the 1920s? But it sounds like that and more.
He was that and more. I mean, he was the Elvis Presley of his time. He came to so dominate his field that he actually, you know, eclipsed magicians of his day. And to this day, you know, you ask someone who the most famous magician is, and they'll say Houdini before they say a David Copperfield. He is dominated.
Now, remind us again, Harry Houdini was the man who could escape from anything from a milk can to a suspended straitjacket, right?
Oh, yeah. And more than that, the suspended straitjacket was something that he would do as a publicity stunt, and his milk can was one of his inventions. But one of the fantastic things Houdini did was that he evolved his act. He started by escaping from handcuffs and then would have his own devices. But eventually he developed the challenge act, where he just simply said, anything anyone can come up with, I can escape from. And that would be something as simple as packing crates that were built on stage by a local manufacturer. But he was also once sewn inside a sea monster in Boston that had washed up on shore. He was put into a giant football. You know, he would escape from anything that anyone could devise. And part of the fun of Houdini's act was hearing what kind of crazy challenges people would cook up for him.
Well, and then speaking of challenges, how did a challenge lead to his death?
Well, it's wrong to say that a challenge led to his death. When he was lecturing in Montreal, he made a boast that he could be punched in the stomach and withstand that blow. It wasn't necessarily a challenge that was a standing challenge. We tried to find evidence that he made this boast before Montreal, and it's hard to find.
Hmm.
He seems to have come up with it around this time. But essentially, he said he could be punched in the stomach. A student took him up on this. This is at the lecture in Montreal, and he withstood the blow. Now, what's interesting is this student who punched him at the lecture went to his death thinking he was the student who killed Houdini. Because what happened later, when Houdini was in his dressing room, a group of students came backstage, and another student came named J. Gordon Whitehead and asked him, you know, I hear you can be punched in the stomach. Houdini said yes, and Whitehead began punching him before he was ready. This either caused or masked appendicitis, and it prevented Houdini from getting medical attention, and he died a week later.
Boy, because he came to Detroit, right, and he was in pain at that point and saw a doctor?
Actually, yeah, he was punched in Montreal, and the next stop was Detroit. On the train, the pain became so great that he finally told his wife what had happened, and they radioed ahead for a doctor to meet the train. The train arrived late, and they had the doctor meet at the theater instead. The doctor diagnosed him, and Houdini refused to go to the hospital at that point. He wanted to do his show. And so he went on that night with what eventually became 104-degree temperature, made it through his show, struggled at times. There were times when an assistant had to step forward and finish a trick for him. People who knew Houdini and had seen Houdini say that they sensed there was something wrong that night. But people who had not seen Houdini thought it was a pretty darn good show. He has a ruptured appendix at this point, and he's doing his show, but he was able to conceal it. And even afterwards, he still refused to go to the hospital. He actually went back to his hotel, where a young doctor was filling in, doing the night shift for the resident doctor. He examined Houdini, became very alarmed, called chief surgeon of Grace Hospital. Only after Houdini talked to his own doctor back in New York did he finally consent to go to the hospital. And this is around 3 a.m. They did surgery in the morning and discovered that his appendix had ruptured, probably on the train to Detroit.
So he had just roaring peritonitis.
He had roaring peritonitis, absolutely.
And
back then, you know, still dangerous today. Back then, it was absolutely fatal.
Boy. Ed, he died and was buried in a cemetery in Queens. And did I read correctly that the Society of American Magicians holds a broken wand ceremony every November at the Great Site?
Yes, they do.
What is that?
The broken wine ceremony started with Houdini. It was a way to honor, one of your own, one of the great men of magic, and that's that you break a wand over their casket. It was first done for Houdini during Houdini's funeral, and it's still done today for members of the Society of American Magicians. It's a ceremony. But for Houdini, they continue to do it. Each year they go to his grave, honor their most illustrious president. Houdini was president of the Society of American Magicians for many years. And they used to do it on Halloween, but it drew some attention to the gravesite. So they now do it typically during November, but they don't announce the date. It's a private ceremony, so they do it at a secret time.
What was it about this man, Eric Weiss, a rabbi's son from Austro-Hungary, that turned him into Harry Houdini, the world-famous magician and escape artist?
You know, I think a drive, enormous drive and a will to succeed. And yes, to succeed as a famous magician. But if you look at Houdini's early life, he has many passions. He's passionate about athletic. He's interested in different forms of entertainment. And he wanted to be success. He wanted to break free of poverty. He wanted to take care of his family. He was just one of these people that was driven. And he happened to have an absolute gift and instinct for not just magic and entertainment, but as we look back on his life, you realize he was just keyed into the times in a way when he understood self-promotion and he understood how to become famous, really just through a sheer will and drive to become successful.
You've been known to say that Houdini history is kind of the gift that keeps on giving. Are you still turning up new things about his life?
Almost constantly. I'm amazed at it, even just that we still see new photos almost every week. And you would think at some point we would just hit the wall and see every photo that's ever been taken of a person, but there's just constantly new information coming out. And also revising. Houdini's life was filled with myths. Some he created himself, some were created after his death. And so we're always trying to kind of get underneath those and find out what the truth of certain events is. And sometimes we'll think we discovered one truth, and then it will suddenly change and there'll be another truth. And then sometimes it will go back to the original story, and maybe that was true after all. So it's a constant puzzle that he's delivered to us. Trying to figure out the mystery of Houdini seems to never stop.
And here we are, 88 years after his death in Detroit, and still fascinated by this man.
Yep. And he has been fascinating.
John Cox is a Houdini historian. John, it was fun talking with you. Thank you so much.
Fun talking to you. Thank you.